Okay, Vyatana, Vyatana, Luchuvana Hargeva, let's call them, let's kill them. Okay, Pasuk, Pasuk off. Vyatana, Luchuvana Hargeva, Nashlucha, Vacharava, let us not go and let's kill Yosef. And Vinashlichehu, we will throw him. Vyachad Haboyra, it's one of the pits. Vyamarnu, we will say, Chayoro Acho Los. A wild animal has eat him up. Vinere, we will see, Mayihu Chaloy myself. What will become of his dreams? So what does the Targum over here say? Targum verse is over here. Oh, Meir, speaking of the devil. Here he comes. Ucha'an now. Now. Ucha'an now.
What's the devil? The Targum?
The Targum? Not exactly. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehiyeh bidvaroi. Okay, let's see what Targum. Targum over here says, Ucha'an. Ucha'an means now. Vi'atah now. Ucha'an is now. Notice the word Vi'atah. And the word no, the Targum translates the word no and the word the ata exactly the same. Targum understands this word to mean now, ucha now, esoi, let us go, then niktiline, let us murder, then near mine bechadomin gubayo, we will throw his body into one of the pits, then neima, we will say, chayso bishto acha achalte, a bear a chayor or a chaya. Bishta means raw. In a mob in a chazay, we will see ma yehoin besoif chalmoy. So notice over here it says ma yuchalam esof. The targum, he adds a word into the pasuk. What will be besoif? What will become at the end of his dreams? Now look at Rashi. Rashi elaborates the near ma yuchalam esof. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak mikra zeimer darsheni. This mikra says darsheni. Notice the same Rabbi Yitzchak from the beginning of the Torah. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, the name of, why did the term begin with Bereishis Bor Elokim, not with Achodesh HaZelochem, Shemitzo Yishayna. Here you have the same Rabbi Yitzchak. This Rabbi Yitzchak is who? Uchor, it's the Medrash. Right? It's not, you know, people make that and they make that mistake. People make a mistake and they think the first Rabbi Yitzchak is Rabbi Rashi's father. That is not correct. That is not correct. Meir, was it you who sent me that book? You sent me that book about Rashi? Who sent me that book about Rashi? There's a new book.
I did, from Lubavitch.
About the criticism that Rashi was not accepted. Rashi was rejected. His commentary was, there was strong opposition to his commentary. There's a new book. Someone published a new book. Was that you?
I don't remember.
Someone sent me an article about a new book that was published, that was recently published by a scholar, an historical account of the opposition the Jewish people had to accept the commentary of Rashi. It must be fascinating to see what it says there in that book, the whole story. But in any event, over here it says, people make a mistake and they think that when Rashi quotes Rabbi Yitzchak, he is referring to his father. Rashi was Shlomo ben Yitzchak. Shlomo Yitzchaki. In those days, they didn't say the word ben. They just said the two names together. Shlomo Yitzchaki. That was his name. So that's why Rash, that's why the Yud, Rash is Reish, Rebbe Shlomo Yitzchaki. That's not correct. When it says Yitzchak, it's referring to a Tana who lived 1,000 years before, at least 1,000 years before his father. It's a Beferish Medrash. It's a Beferish Medrash. Rash never quotes his father. As far as I know, there is no time, I don't know, maybe not, you have to go check, no time in the entire commentary of Rashi. Does Rashi ever refer to his father? I don't know. I don't think Rashi ever referred, who's a Yosem, right? Didn't his father die when he was very young? Rashi, I don't know. But over here we have Rabbi Yitzchak, Mikrozet Omer Dorshen, he tells us to expound it. Ruach HaKodesh Omer Eskendu, who's saying this? Who's the one that said this last line? V'nire ma yihu chaloy myself. Me, Omar el me. If we were in high school and we were learning Parashas Vayeshev and there would be an exam, on the exam would be a question. Answer the question. Me, Omar, El, me. Who said this to who? V'nire ma yihyu chaloy myself. Let's see what will become of his dreams. So if you would not look in Rashi, you would say, the brothers, ha'achim, omru al Yosef. Did they say it directly to Yosef? Not necessarily. Maybe they said it to one another. He ata now l'chu v'nahar geyu, let's murder him. We'll say to our father, and the brothers, their final words were, and then we'll see. Then we'll see Venere Mayu Chalo Mesav, they're making late sonos of Yosef. Is that the Pshat? Rashi says it's not the Pshat. Rashi says, it was the Ruach HaKodesh that said this. Who did the Ruach HaKodesh say? To itself. Heim Oimrim, these human beings, the brothers of Yosef, they say Nahargehu, V'yakosav Misayim, V'nire Hashem, the Ruach HaKodesh is saying, V'nire Mayi Yuchaloi Mesav, Nire Dvar Mi Yokum, Imishim Shelochem Oishali. Will your words come true, that Yosef will die and we'll put an end to him? Or will my words come true, the words of Hashem? Hashem appeared to, Hashem presented a dream. The Ruach HaKodesh presented a dream, a holy dream, which predicted that Yosef would live for a very long time and all of the brothers would come one day and bow down to him. Rashi over here says, logically, it is impossible to say the Pshat, Alderech HaPshat, that the brothers said amongst themselves, let's see what becomes of his dream. Shemikevan Sheyaharguhu. Once the brothers succeed in murdering him, it's obvious. Batlu chaloi myself, his dreams have come to an end. So it's
Ramban has a different shot. Ramban is that if he's somehow saved by a miracle, when this happens, then it's true that his dreams are only made clear.
So according to Ramban, the ones who made this statement were Yosef's brothers. They actually,
and it says, we'll see. If he's saved from the pit, they threw him in a deep pit, whatever.
Okay.
And I know Hanami, there's some value to his dreams that he's going to live.
So does that mean that the Ramban is following the Zemachloikis between Unkelis and Rashi? Because Unkelis says, V'nechazei mo yohoin b'soif chelmoihi. What's going to be at the b'soif, at the end, regarding his dreams? Rashi, we always work with the principle. Rashi has an unlimited material Rashi could have drawn from to write a commentary on the pasuk. Rashi is only writing commentary on things that are triggered by the Unkelis. That's the thesis of the shir. Unkelis says something that is a little bit off, and what is off is a trigger for Rashi to provide commentary. Rubo duba. I don't know if you can see it all the time, but very, very often. So over here, Unkelis here is very straightforward. Right now, we're gonna go, and we're gonna kill him, and we're gonna throw him into one of the pits. Everything over here is pretty straightforward. The Neymar, and we'll say, Chayso Bishta, an evil creature, Achalte killed him. The Nechazei. And then we'll see, my Yehoin, the Soif Chelmoi. At the end of his dreams, Rashi, right away, why did the Unkelis need to put the word besoif? It would appear. Because Unkelis wanted that these words should have been uttered by the brothers. And if you're not going to put the word besoif, then Unkelis is going to have the same problem Rashi has. The Efshol Sheyomu Heim. Can't be they said this. The dreams are bottled. They're cancelled. So that is a problem that you cannot get away from. How did Rashi get away from this problem? By telling us that it was the angel who said these words. Unkelis seems to have another solution. No, the brothers indeed said it. The brothers are going to kill him. They're going to kill him. And then we will see what will be besoif at the end of his dreams. There's something here that's missing. Let me take a look at what is over here in the Matsari. Let's take a look at the Matsari. Mai Chalom is a Pasachof in the Matsari. I'm looking over here. Nachlatea Pasachov Besoif Chalomohi. Okay, I'm going to read you over here from the Ma'atzari. Hoisef Hamila Besoif Al Lashon HaKosov. Rashi, the Unkelis, added a word. Venera Shakavonik Itargum Yoinus and Menuzil. Mayehe Peshar Chalomohi. Kasav, what's going to be the interpretation of his dream? Kasav Ramban, oh, Mr. Rappaport, you see, on the mark, the Ramban, he quotes the Ramban, he says that indeed it was the brothers who said this. It was an expression of leitzonos, like a rhetorical question. He just makes things much more confusing. Okay, he makes things much more confusing, and the only thing that he adds in over here is the Yonas son Ben Uziel. You want to go see Yonas son Ben Uziel? We have it over here on the computer, right over here. Go to Mefarshim. Let me just move this out of the way so I can see it. Go to Mefarshim here. I will go to the Targumim. We have here Targumim here, the Rechaim. No, this is not what I want. I want Mefarshim. I want over here the Targumim. And here we have Yonas son Albereshus. Here it is. Uchadoin osu now. Uchadoin now. Osu. V'niktaline. V'narmine l'chad min govio. V'neymar chaysa bishto achlose. V'nichme ma yihi pesher. Chelmoi. He also adds a word. Okay. Yonas Ben Uziel doesn't add in words. He likes to add in sentences. He adds in paragraphs.
What does the nichame mean?
To look, well, to view. Nichame means to gaze, to look. I think it means to look. If I'm not mistaken, it means to look. And he says here, do they have English? Look, they have English on this. Yeah, look, they have English. Will you believe this? They have English for the Targum. And now Kabbalah is kill him and throw him into one of the pits and say that an evil beast has devoured him and we shall see. You see, we have, isn't this amazing? We have even the English of the Targum. We have on Rashi also, let's see, Unklus. We have English. Do we have English on Rashi? Wait, where's the English? Rashi, Unkelis? No, they don't have English. They only have the English for the Targum Yoinasan. They don't have the English here. They have English for Rashi, and they have English for Targum Yoinasan. That's amazing. And they don't have English, how to say it, for Rashi. For Unkelis. Unkelis Genesis. Rashi says Besoif. Unkelis says, he says the interpretation of the dreams in C. Let's go back to the Hebrew. Chodoy now. Also, let us go. V'nikla tindu v'nearmin l'mochab b'negu v'neim achaisa bishto achalose v'nechmei moye pesher chalmoy. So here's what we have. We have three perushim. Obviously, this is a big, big topic of discussion. Over here, who made this statement? We have multiple perushim. Either it was the brothers, and they made it as a statement of what it says over here in the Ramban, at least going to one interpretation of late sonos. Yeah, let's see what now comes of his dreams. Or Mr. Rapport quoted another Ramban, probably another interpretation of the Ramban in this pasuk, that they say we'll do a test, that if he will die, if he will survive the miracle, that means then indeed he will live and the dreams will come true. Rashi doesn't like any of these perushim. Rashi says that it cannot be that the brothers said this, because if they're going to succeed in killing him, then there are no dreams. The dreams are bottle. The dreams are bottle, and you know, it's very interesting. Go back over here to Rashi. Shemikevan Shayargu Badlu Chaloy Maisa. You know what this sounds like? In the Gemara, you have this all over the place. And you also have this in all the storybooks, where if a king issues an evil decree and the king dies, then the evil decree is bottle. Or for that matter, any law that a king passed, or some, I don't know, it's a decree, I don't know what you want to call it, and the king dies, then the decree is bottled. It is canceled. Is Rashi here coming to suggest to us a principle that if a person has a dream, and let's say the dream was interpreted, person has a dream, and we know that dreams depend upon the interpretation, person goes to the best interpreter, who is a very good friend of his, and he interprets the dream in a very, very good, positive way, and then the person dies. So does that mean that the dream is bottle? Let's say the dream was not about the person himself. Person had a dream, what's going to happen in the world? Person had a dream, what's going to happen to his friend? He had a dream, what's going to happen to, you know, anyone. I had a dream, what's going to happen to the President of the United States? And then he has a dream, and he goes to an interpreter. and the interpreter tells him that the dream refers to the President of the United States. And in your dream you saw ABC, this is what's going to happen. Wow. It now becomes activated. It's like a sleeper cell, literally. A sleeper cell. He was sleeping, had a dream. And now the interpreter activates the dream with a beautiful interpretation. And let's say, for argument's sake, the interpretation has nothing to do with the principal, with the person who had the dream. Now, when will it happen? Eventually it will happen. In a year, in 2 years, 3 years. Let's say the person dies. The dreamer dies. Guess what? The dream is canceled. Similar to in ancient times when a king would issue an edict, a decree, and the king dies, the edict and decree is canceled. Is that what Rashi is saying? Why? Why? Who says? Who says? Just because Yosef will die, who says his dream is canceled? What was the dream? The dream was that all of his brothers are going to come bow down, that they're going to come bow down to him. So what, maybe they'll bow down to his grave. They'll come to him one day, they'll bow down to his grave. Maybe, you know, they'll make a monument. They'll give him a professor, a chair, and whoever is the person that represents who is the holder of this chair, all of the brothers will come. They'll bow down to that person that represents, that's Yosef's representative. Who says the dream is batel? Just because the dreamer dies. Rashi appears to be presenting a very interesting concept. I'm not making this up. What are you talking about? Just because they kill him doesn't mean the dream is bottled. The dream will be fulfilled anyway. In another way or form. Maybe that's what was bothering. That was bothering the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel. Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel says, let's kill him. And when we'll kill him, then we will see how the dream will now come to fruition. I'm trying to suggest that there's a fundamental difference between the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel and Rashi with regard to a case where the dreamer dies. Is the dream batel umavutel, like in the ancient stories, in the storybooks, and in the Gemara, where a king issues a decree and he dies, the decree is batel? Or no, just because the king dies, just because the dreamer dies, the dream still lives on, and the dream will have to somehow come to fruition in one way or another. But obviously the fact now that the person who had the dream is dead, and maybe he was a player. He was a person that was part of the dream. Obviously, that part will have to be adjusted, and the dream will have to come true in a different form. Now we thought until now that the fact that all of our bundles were bowing down to his bundle, all of the stars were bowing down to him. So obviously, it can't mean that's going to happen in the flesh. Maybe it's going to happen now in some other form. So we will see mayuhu besoif chelmoi, how the dream will trickle down and turn into a reality. Now, if that's correct, what I'm saying, now you have to go back to the Targum of Uncleus, which our primary discussion. And over here, in Uncleus, it says, besoif, Targum, Yonason says, mayuhu pesher chelmoi. Now you go to Uncleus, he doesn't say the word pesher, he says besoif, which it appears that in this wonderful sefer called the Ma'at Tzori, which is the parish, a very beautiful parish on Uncleus, he seems to want very much to say that what Rashi says is exactly the same, I'm sorry, what Uncleus is saying is exactly, it's very similar to what the Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel is saying. And the Targum Yonasan said it word of interpretation, whereas Uncleus says the same thing, which means the seif. The seif is the interpretation. Now that he's dead, obviously the dream has to come true in a different way. in a different form, not what we expected. We expected him to be alive and all going to bow down to him. That can't happen now because he's dead. So the dream will have to come to fruition in a different form. And we don't know what that means. We'll have to wait and see. Rashi says, you guys have got it all wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. Because if you know the rules of dreams, if you open up Masechta Chalomos, authored by Meir Appeldorf, Masechta Chalomos, you will see that in Masechta Chalomos it says that if the person who has the dream dies, batel mevutel, the whole dream is over. I think there's some truth to what we're saying over there, some fundamental principle over here, Machlokes Rashi, verse, Unkelus, and Targum Yonason, in the rules of how dreams work. And the example I'm giving is this principle, like I told you already three times, of we find in the Gemara stories where if a king makes a gezera on the Medina, the only way for the gezera to be bottled is when the king dies. On the other hand, you know, in the Megillah, we speak about this in Shirin in the morning sometimes, is that the Gemara says, Akate Avde Achashverosh Hanan. We are still today the servants of Achashverosh. Achashverosh issued an edict. Lahashmid kol hayehudim minar v'yadzokin tafenoshim b'yoyim echad u'sholom lois. That gezerah, it's very frightening, was never cancelled. Never cancelled. There's a gezerah in the world. Lahashmid laharog ula'abed es kol hayehudim minar v'yadzokin tafenoshim b'yoyim echad u'sholom lovo. It was never cancelled. So you will say, well, at least Achashverosh died. He's dead. And if Achashverosh is dead, then the Gezerah is cancelled, like in the Gemara. Guess what? The Gemara says he never died. Akate Avde Achashverosh Anan. What do you mean never die? He's dead. No, he's dead, but he's not dead. He's dead, but Akate Avde Achashverosh Anan. That means the Gezerah is still in effect. How then do we survive the Gezerah? Well, they made another rule. And the rule is a Jew has the right to defend himself. A Jew has a right to take up arms, to defend himself. And that was what Esther accomplished. Although you can no longer cancel the Gezerah, you can make another law that will counteract, serve as an antidote to the first Gezerah. Oh, but why isn't the first Gezerah bottled because he died? He's still alive. But here, they're planning to eliminate permanently Yosef. And when he will be eliminated permanently, then the chaloim is bottled. Okay, let's go by it. I think that was an important idea. I think the Dvarim Begav. Ein bet medrash belo chidush. Pasuk chaf aleph. Ayishma Ruvain. Ruvain listened to what was happening. Vayatzilehu miyadam. He saved him. Hey, Vayatzi saved him, mi yodam, from their evil hands. Vayoimer, and he said, loy nakenu nafesh. Can you imagine over here, three words? Three words change the world. Three words, we will not kill him. Let's see, Unkelus.
He didn't say we'll not kill him, he said we'll kill him with blood.
Loy nakenu, let us not, nakenu is us, let us not take his life. Nafesh. Let us not take his neshama. Let's see. Targum Unkelus. Ushama Ruvain. Vishezve. This word I want to vote. That this word is the most popular word in Targum Unkelus. The word Vishezve appears in Unkelus, I believe, I'm just guessing, more than any other word. It always makes a cameo appearance wherever you go. And it means to save. And it means to save in many different forms. He loves, Unkelus, he loves this word. He always sticks in this word, wherever he can find. It's like these guys who like to say the word, the German word, the Weltanschauung. His Weltanschauung. You ever hear those type of people? They love to throw that word in wherever they can. these speakers, Weltanschauung, your way of life. Targum's favorite word, my infantile understanding, this for some reason always likes to make an appearance. Uvin heard v'shezvei mi dehoin. He saved him. He saved Yosef from their hands. The Amar, and he said, La nik t'linei nofesh. Let us not. See, Mr. Rapport, you're very good. The word nik t'linei means death. Okay, nefosh means the soul. Nakenu doesn't necessarily mean death. Nakenu means to hit, to harm, to injure. Okay, over here, when they said before, Vaisnaklu, okay, Luchu, no, you see, it's interesting, the context. Luchu v'nahar geihu. You see, this is interesting. Luchu v'nahar geihu. The word v'nahar geihu is not the same word as nakenu. It's not the same word. It's a different Hebrew word. Hariga is hariga, and hakor is hakor. Yet, the Targum Unkelis in both psukim translates the word the same. V'nahar geihu, it's v'niktaline. And in this pasuk, it says, lo nakenu niktaline. Same exact word. My high. Okay, let's look at Rashi. Rashi, lo nakenu nefesh, makas nefesh, zohi misa. A maka of nefesh is misa. Now, if you want to bet, this just proves our thesis. Rashi is writing a sefer on Unkelis because Unkelis doesn't apologize. He just says, Lo niktaline nofesh. Rashi read this, and Rashi said, excuse me, how did you jump, you leap from the word nakenu nofesh to niktaline? Where did that come from? What are you doing? So Rashi, who's writing a commentary on Unkelis, says, you're right. Because a makas nefesh is zuhimis. It's like, mamish, if this would be a note, a footnote, it would be a perfect footnote. Can you imagine writing a sefer and you have footnotes? So Rashi would be the footnote. Naktaline, put there a number one, you know, a little one, raise it above the print, and then you go look at Rashi, what's the comment? Makas nefesh, zuhi misa. The reason why the Targum used the word hariga is because the two words together, makas nefesh, means hariga. See, interesting, Rashi was very used, he used the dibur hamaschil. Rashi was an innovator. Who was the first one to use this principle called the dibur hamaschil? Let's talk about this. Loi nakenu nefesh. Right? Loi nakenu nefesh. So you first start with the words in the pasuk. And then you use that as your anchor to provide a commentary. Who's the first one to use a dibur hamaschil, to quote in your commentary the text and then write words? It was Rabbeinu Hananel. Rabbeinu Hananel is the earliest commentator that we know of who employed the technique of using a dibur hamaschil. A dibur hamaschil, interestingly, is really like a footnote. Some of you told me. The Rambam, you know, what is really a dibur hamaschil? A dibur hamaschil is a footnote. Isn't that really the same idea? You put a number, and then you go down to the bottom of the page, or the end of the book, an end note, and you have a commentary. You have an elaboration. All footnotes are very similar. The sources. Depends on how you want to use the footnote, but it's interesting. This really proves the point. Okay, let's now go to the next one. Vayishma Ruvain. Vayatzileu miyodam. Okay, so Ruvain heard and he said no. Next pasuk. Vayoyimer alehem Ruvain. Now Ruvain elaborates. Ruvain said to them, Al tishbechu dam, do not spill blood. Instead, what should you do? Hashlichu eisai, cast them el habar, throw them into the bar. Hazeh, Asher Bamidbar, V'yod al tish l'chuvo, do not stretch out your hand against him. L'man, why did he do this? Hitzil oisom miyadam l'hashivoy el aviv. Who's saying this? Mi omar el mi. Who made this statement? L'man, hatzil oisom miyadam l'hashivoy el aviv. Who said this? So let's see what it says over here in Unkelus. Unkelus over here says, Unkelus says, V'amar l'hoin Ruvain. Ruvain said, La soshdun dama. Okay, the word soshdun means to spill blood. Instead, remo yosei luguba, throw him into the pit. Hadein this pit. D, bimidbara, that isn't the desert. Vida, a hand, la soshdun bay. Do not send forth the hand against him. Bedil, so that. Again, you see that nice word? L'shei zava, to save, mi de yosei him, mi de hoin, their hands, la asa vusei, to return him, levas means to, avui his father. Everything over here appears to be pretty straightforward. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi, l'man itzil oiso. Okay, so again, here is the mi omar el mi. Who is the one who made this statement? Ruach hakodesh mi'ida. Again, the Ruach HaKodesh is coming to testify al Ruvain Shuli Omar Zeis El Hatzil Oso Shia to save him. Shiyavahu, he himself will come later in the day. V'yalenu Misham will take him out of the pit. Omar, he said, Ani Bechor, I am the Bechor, the Gadol Shebekulon, Lo Yitole HaSeirachoin Elabi. The Seirachoin, which means this sinister plot. It's a very interesting word that Rashi selected. Sircha normally means the spoilage. Rashi could have used many different words to describe this tragedy. When ultimately the world will analyze what has happened and they'll conclude that this was a tragic moment, they will blame me. Now, if we were writing this Rashi, I doubt we would use the word Seirochoin. Seirochoin, Lashon of Hisriach, smell. It stinks. Or there's a decay. There's a decay which produces a foul odor. Would you, on your own, suggest that the Avera of the brother selling Yosef as a slave is called a Seirochoin? There is a decay, there's dead meat which has flies all over it, surrounding it because of the stench and the smell. I don't think that's what we would do. We would not analyze this as something that has a sirchay. Yet, that's exactly what it does over here. Over here, Rashi learns that in final analysis, this is called a sirchay, something which is like a dead body that is decaying. The relationship between us and our brother has decayed. Another very fascinating point is this is called leadership. This is called real leadership. This is Reuven at his best. Now, it's not at his best when he runs away, but the fact that he spoke up and he says, listen, I'm the Bechor. I am the firstborn. I am the Gadol Shebekulon, and therefore I'm responsible. Reuven did not hide from his responsibility. It's my authority here. I'm the oldest, and therefore I have to do something. Unfortunately, he did not go all the way. He did not carry through 100%, but at least he did take some degree of responsibility. Now, what's the big question? The big dilemma here is there machloikas Rashi and Unkelus? If Rashi is making the statement, man hitzil oy son, he's coming over here to say the one that the mi omer al mi is the Ruach HaKodesh. There's a running commentary in this parish from Ruach HaKodesh. Does Unkelus agree to this? Unkelus here says, Vamar lohoin Ruvain, los soishtun dodo, still blood. Remo yosel guwa hode, divin mal bodo. Bedil. Now here's the key words we have to analyze very carefully. So that to save him from their hands, He doesn't. I mean, it doesn't sound like that Reuven went and he said these words. Very unlikely Reuven said these words. But the Targum doesn't over here elaborate and indicate that Hashem and Ruach HaKodesh said these words either. So you have no choice. The Targum Luchar also has to agree to Rashi. Let me see over here if there's any commentary in the Ma'atzari. The Ma'atzari says V'yodo lo yiseishtun. Okay. No, there's no commentary. So we have to assume that there's no disagreement. Let me go look at what we have over here. Let's look at the Targum Yeres in Muzil. Okay, what does he say? Begin, midim, las, begin, so that, l'shei zovo, yosei midichon, las, suvoi, lungvaso, is exactly the same thing. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk of Gimel. Pasuk of Gimel says, Ayuhi, and it was, kashe bo Yosef elohav, when he came to his brothers, vayavshitu es Yosef es kutantok. They took off his kesoides. What kesoides? His garment. Which kesoides? This was the multicolored, okay, the kesoines means a tunic. Pasim, what is the word pasim? Well, that you have to really go back to the Greek of the parasha. Pasim was a multicolored garment. Asher olav. Let us see what's over here in Unkelis. Unkelis says, Vahavak had al Yosef levos achuhi to his brother. When Yosef came to his brothers, Vahashlochu yos Yosef yos ki tuno. The ashlochu means they stripped him. Okay, it's a very interesting word. They stripped him. Yos ki tunei his cloak. Which cloak? Yos ki tuno defase, the cloak that was multicolored, the alohi that was upon him. Okay, so let's see if Rashi. If Rashi adds anything. Es kutonto ze choluk. This is the upper garment. Es kesenes apasin. Who shall hoisif loy ovim yoiser al echav? It's Rashi over here, but he's coming over here to explain. Rashi is bothered. Why are there three more words? It says, Vayavshitu es yoisef es kutonto. Period. What? They strip Yosef es kutonto asher olof. What is the words? Es kesonis apasim. So the Rashi tells us. When it says the Kesenes HaPasim means they took away what their father gave him extra over them. This was the cause of their jealousy. According to Rashi, the Pasuk is making a very powerful point. We're coming here to define why did they hate Yosef so much. It's because he had the Kesenes HaPasim. Not because he had a nice color garment. It's because their father showed him more love than they. And that is obviously where the jealousy lied. It's a Freudian slip. They could just have thrown him into the pit and murdered him right then and there. Why was it necessary for them to take off the Kesoines Pasim? It's a Freudian slip. Oh, now we got you. Now you're vulnerable. This Kesoines Pasim is what made you more special than our brethren, our us, and therefore they had the hanov taking it off him. Okay, and then Unkelus over here really doesn't say, I can't see over here, which garment? Yoski tuno de pase. The Kesoines Pasim de Alohi. It's very frightening because in the Holocaust, in the beginning of the Holocaust, before they invented the gas chambers, the gas chambers came much later. The beginning of the Holocaust, how did they kill Jews? By machine gun, by shunk. What do? They had the Jews dig their own pits. They had the Jews dig massive pits, all these little shtetlach, wherever they came in, they rounded up the Jews and they dug a pit. And then they told them to stand along the edge of the pit, and they shot them, and they fell into the pit. And many times also they told them they took off their clothing. I was reading this today, I was reading an account. Wow, it's just like just horrific, horrific. And now coming tonight and reading this over here, it's just, hashkafe, it's just like horrific. Then what did they do to him? It's just amazing what they did. They threw him into a. They took off his clothing and threw him into a pit. In the Holocaust, Rachman al-Itzlan, that's what happened to many of our own relatives. they were told to dig pits, and they stood on the border, and they took off their clothing, and they shot them and threw them into the pit. It's just, you know, the timing for me, it's just very, very frightening, very frightening. Alright, that is Rashi, Unkelus. Okay, unfortunately, it's already 8 o'clock, so we have to stop. Everybody say thank you so, so much. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you so much for coming to learn with me. And here's a show. We'll see you all tomorrow.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night.